Thursday the 24th of June. The strangest thing happened today. There I am, sitting by the pool, chatting to Elizabeth, when my phone rings. The voice on the other end says, "Debbie?" And my heart goes thump. I know instantly who it is. After all these years. Turns out he's got a job at Felpersham University starting in September, and he's come over early to teach a summer school. French-Canadian literature. That takes me back. He says, "Can we meet?" I don't know what to say. Elizabeth is all for it. I'm surprised she even remembers him. When they last met, I seem to recall she was rather preoccupied with Cameron Fraser. Anyway, I tell him I'm too busy this week. And next week? I'll think about it. Tuesday, 29th of June. He rings again. Wants me to drop everything and meet him for lunch. Still seems to think that he only has to say jump. Not anymore, Simon. Says he's lonely. Doesn't know anyone in Borsetshire apart from me. Oh, yeah. He's teaching summer school, isn't he? Bound to be a few nubile 19-year-olds among his students. He says he's sorry about what happened all those years ago, and can we be friends? I don't know about that. But I agree to meet him for lunch tomorrow. Wednesday the 30th. My cousin Tommy has been refused bail and banged up. Mum's in a state, imagining what it'd be like if it was Kate. She wants to talk, wants to take me out to lunch. I have to make some fatuous excuse about collecting spare parts for the tractor. He looks exactly the same. A hint of grey about the temples, but well, it suits him. Not married, though he says he'd live with someone for 4 years, someone he really loved. He seems to really love an awful lot of people. He's the only one I've ever... Anyway, he says it went horribly wrong and it was all his fault, which doesn't surprise me. Admits that he treated me really badly, which he did. I sometimes wonder if he's the reason that I've never met anyone, that I never allow men to get too close. But lunch is rather fun. He can still make me laugh. And he can't get over the fact that I'm a farmer now. And when he says, "Can we be friends now?" I think, why not? Friday, 2nd July. Elizabeth wants a blow-by-blow account. I realise as I'm telling her that I feel sorry for Simon. He does seem to lurch through life, rather, making a mess of one relationship after another. Elizabeth reckons that feeling sorry for someone is the first sign that you're falling in love with them again. Absolutely no chance. He rings to ask if I'll come and look at a flat with him. Giggles and knowing looks from Elizabeth. But it's no big deal. I know the area and he doesn't. That's all. Sunday the 6th. Turns out the flat has already been taken. We go for a walk in the cathedral close and then have tea and scones in the copper kettle. He teases me rotten about how frightfully English I am, but actually he loves it all. Tea and cricket and warm beer. I'd forgotten that about Simon. Tuesday. I must have mentioned that Mum and Dad are going to the Royal Show today because he turns up at the farm, completely unannounced. Catches me fixing the tractor up to my elbows in engine oil. Still, sorts out his illusions. He obviously imagined me carrying on like some latter-day milkmaid skipping through the fields in a smock. Will I go and look at another flat? Well, I have to go into Felpersham anyway to collect a new oil filter, so why not? It's awful. Makes me realise how lucky I am. It may have its limitations living at home, but at least I don't have to put up with peeling wallpaper and curtains that don't meet in the middle. Simon is rather depressed by it, so I take him to lunch at the Feathers. He cheers up no end after a glass of wine and We have a good laugh about the squalid flat and its grotesque landlord. Don't get home till 3:30. Dad would have a fit. Friday. He rings when I'm in the kitchen with Mum. I make a hasty exit, but not before she's put 2 and 2 together and made 5. Confess that, yes, there is a man in my life, without being specific. She says she guessed, but decided not to say anything because she knows how I hate her interfering. Never stopped her in the past. Saturday the 10th. We look at another flat, even worse than the last one. But Simon doesn't seem to care very much. He's come armed with a picnic, and we spend a gloriously indolent afternoon in the park. Last time I'll be able to do that for a while. I explain to him that we start harvesting on Monday. I don't think he understands what it means. Like, no social life at all for the next few weeks. Wednesday the 14th. There I am this morning, getting the combine lined up, when I hear a wild cry. And there's Simon, jumping up and down, trying to attract my attention. Says he misses me. Can't stand not being able to see me. And I'm quite irrationally pleased. I have to keep reminding myself what he's like. How badly he treated me before. Although that was 8 years ago. We're both older and wiser now. I suggest we walk back towards his car, away from the house. But would you believe it, Mum drives past. Slams on the brakes to investigate, of course. Simon suddenly remembers an urgent appointment. Very wise. Mum goes completely ballistic. Shouts at me as if I'm a naughty schoolgirl. And she wonders why I didn't tell her. When is she going to realise that I'm 28? Thursday. Mum has decided not to report me to Dad because Gran has advised her not to interfere. Sometimes I think Gran is the only person in this family with an ounce of discretion or common sense. Phone Simon to tell him to keep his head down. I really can't see him again till after harvest. Monday, 19th July. Gran throws this terrific party for Jack's 80th birthday. Almost ruined for me by Mum going on and on about Simon. I just wish he could have been there. He'd have loved it. Especially the Tommy Croker band. They'd have really cracked him up. Wednesday. This thing is in danger of getting out of control. He turns up at the farm again. Nearly gives me a heart attack, particularly when someone comes out of the kitchen door. Turns out to be Elizabeth, but could just as easily have been Dad. Says he couldn't bear the thought of another 3 weeks without me. Which is pretty rich when he managed 8 years without giving me a second thought. And will I go and look at another flat? In Borchester this time. It turns out to be in the old wool market where Shula used to live when she first married Mark. And it's perfect. Obviously horribly expensive and, as I tried to point out to him, not exactly convenient for Feldbisham University, but he says it's more important for him to be close to Ambridge. Why do I think he took the job, if not to be near me? This is complete baloney, of course. He's making it up as he goes along. But nobody can fake sincerity like Simon can. And I'm in serious danger of weakening. I make an excuse about getting another load of barley in the dryer and rush off. Sunday, 25th of July. I have to give him full marks for persistence. Says he needs to see me urgently to talk about furniture for the flat. As if. I arrange to meet him for a drink in Pennyhasset. He teases me rotten about these clandestine assignations. And he's right, of course. I want to carry on seeing him, and I've really no reason to feel guilty about it, so why don't I invite him to the farm? Fear, that's why, of what's going to happen when Dad finds out. Thursday the 29th. Have finally convinced myself that I'm being stupid. I'm not a kid anymore. I intend to carry on seeing Simon. And if I want to invite my friend to my home, I don't have to ask permission. So when Simon rings today, with the usual complaint that he can't wait till harvest is over to see me again, I say, OK, come and share my combine harvester. There's room in the cab for two. Tuesday, the 3rd of August. So, Dad has found out. And any vain hope I might have been harbouring about him taking it calmly has been comprehensively dashed. Up until then, it's a lovely day. I really get a kick out of driving that huge combine and, well, if I'm honest, it's nice to show off a bit. And Simon is suitably impressed. I'll make a farmer of him yet. Not that he wants to be a farmer, of course, but... Dad spots us. So I get hauled pretty thoroughly over the coals. The gist of what he says is that I'm a fool, Simon is a scoundrel, and if he ever catches him setting foot on the farm again, he'll throw him off like he did the last time. But he takes about 3 hours to say it. I don't know whether I feel more depressed or angry. One thing I'm sure of, I'm not going to stop seeing Simon, and I'm not going to lie about it anymore either. Thursday. Decide to award myself an evening off. We've nearly finished the winter barley and the rape. Make no secret of the fact that I'm meeting Simon, though I don't mention that he's now moved into the wool market flat. The moment he opens the door, I know it's not just Mum and Dad I've got to stop lying to. It's myself. He is still the most gorgeous man I've ever met. And what's the point in pretending that I don't still fancy the socks off him? And after a couple of glasses of wine, when we're in the kitchen and he's showing off his cooking, he leans over and kisses me. Well, wow. I suddenly remember what I've been missing these past 8 years. Monday, the 9th of August. The most blissful weekend. Okay, I'm playing with fire. Okay, it may not last, but I can't remember the last time I had so much fun. If Dad has noticed I've been staying out half the night, he hasn't said anything. I think Mum must have told him to behave, because there's been no repeat of last week's tirade. He even asked me this morning if I'd had a nice time last night. It nearly made me laugh out loud. Wednesday the 11th. I stop the combine for the eclipse and stand out in the field. It's quite spooky, the silence. No birds, nothing. And then my phone goes, and it's Simon who wants to share this once-in-a-lifetime moment with me. He can be such a romantic old fool. Thursday. Stay home this evening, and Elizabeth and Nigel come round for a swim. She wants to know all, so I tell her. Simon is the sexiest thing on two legs, and I'm happy as a pig in muck. It is bliss to be able to talk about him. Mum and Dad have obviously decided that if they ignore his existence, he'll go away. Wednesday the 18th. I stay over at the flat and it pours with rain. I know there's no hope of getting on with the combining this morning, and Simon doesn't have to be at the university till 11, so we think, what the hell? And stay in bed. Of course, when I get home, there's Dad waiting for me in the yard, looking at his watch and saying, what time do you call this? He might as well be carrying a rolling pin. He's in a filthy mood all day, and when I ask him what the matter is, he accuses me of being so wrapped up in my love life that I'm neglecting the farm, which is grossly unfair after the hours I've put in these past few weeks. Challenge him to point out work that I haven't done, which of course he can't. But I get the distinct impression that the truce is over. Sunday, 22nd of August. Simon has asked me to move into the flat with him. I am so tempted. The atmosphere at home is ghastly. Dad is barely speaking to me and Mum's like a cat on hot bricks. But that's not a good enough reason to move in with someone. And besides, do I really trust him enough to make that kind of commitment? So I say no, not yet. I just don't think we're ready. Which sort of implies that sometime we will be. Monday the 23rd. A seriously bad day. Didn't sleep a wink last night thinking about what Simon had said, so feel knackered all day. And no sooner have I started the combine this morning than the thing packs up on me. I panic, thinking it must be something I did. Call the fitter out, but he can't be here till about 3, so we lose more than half a day's harvesting. Tempted to go back to bed, but instead I get on working down the land for the rape. So am not amused when Dad says, Oh, you should have taken a break. You look exhausted. Damned if I do, damned if I don't. The good news is that it wasn't my fault the combine broke down, but losing that half day has really put us behind. I'm beginning to think that since we took on the estate land as well, we've got more acreage than we can realistically cope with. My stress levels are going through the roof, and not just because of Dad. But when I stagger indoors this evening, there he is in his DJ, about to swan off to some concert. Andy announces he's going shooting next week. And I think, why am I doing this? Why am I working 15 hours a day for absolutely no thanks and sacrificing my own social life? And I blow my top to Mum and tell her about Simon inviting me to move in and say, I'm sorry I turned him down. Her jaw drops in a rather gratifying way. Sunday the 29th of August. Simon's obviously getting fed up with me whinging about the situation at home and has decided to take matters into his own hands. So we go along to the cricket match at Lakey Green, where I know Mum has gone with Alice. And he turns on the charm. It's just so embarrassing to watch. Now, I'm all too familiar with Simon's charm. When I was young, I fell for it, hook, line and sinker. Now I see straight through it. And I can't believe that other people don't. Mum certainly doesn't. By the time he's finished with her, she's practically waving her legs in the air, inviting him to tickle her tummy. So that just leaves Dad. Monday. He's off shooting partridge today. Atmosphere at home farm improves 100%. And Mum says he's a lot more cheerful since he's managed to grab control of the Grey Gables shooting rights from Jack. Always puts him in a good humour, a bit of empire building. So, she'd like to invite Simon and me to come to dinner on Friday. Simon is cock-a-hoop. He thinks we're home and dry. But he doesn't know Dad like I do. Tuesday. Stayed at the flat last night, and Dad is in the yard as Simon drops me off. Can barely bring himself to say good morning. So much for being a lot more cheerful. Turns out Mum's already floated the dinner party idea with him, and he is, to put it mildly, not keen. Nor am I, really. Is he right? Now I don't know what to think. Meet Simon for lunch in the bar at Grey Gables. He's still all for this dinner from hell. As luck would have it, they're having some sort of farewell do for George. And who should turn up but Dad, who is thoroughly disconcerted to find us there. He can't get away fast enough. Simon smiles sweetly at him and says, "See you Friday." Look of horror crosses Dad's face. Very satisfying. Friday, 3rd of September. Mum has really pushed the boat out. The flowers, the candles, the best china. If it was down to her and Simon, the evening would be a triumph. Mum is in heaven because she can talk to Simon about all those Canadian writers she's so keen on. Margaret Atwood, Carol Shields. Not often she gets the chance to talk about books. Dad, on the other hand, hardly says a word all evening. But Simon doesn't give up. I have to say, his performance is awesome. Nauseating, but still awesome. He churns out this endless stream of flannel. How wonderful the farm is. How enterprising Dad's been over the shoot. How he admires the stand we've taken on GMOs. But I think Dad's made up his mind. And nothing Simon can do will change it. Monday the 6th. I was right. If anything, Dad is even more hostile. We exchange a minimum of words about what work needs to be done. That's it. I ask him if he enjoyed Friday night. All he says is, "How long is Simon's contract with the university?" It's too depressing. Thursday. Gran wants to meet him. She says she's heard so much about him from Mum and would we like to come to tea. Oh, I suppose it's inevitable, but I feel as if we're becoming public property. He's my boyfriend. I don't want him picked over by the whole blessed family. But Simon thinks it's a good strategy. Get the rest of the family on board. Dad won't be able to resist. Warn him that Gran will be a somewhat tougher nut to crack than Mum. Friday the 10th. My worst suspicions are confirmed. We go to the pictures this evening and, by a horrible piece of bad luck, bump into Mum and Dad. While Sam's in the loo, I mention that we're going to tea with Gran and Jack, and Dad says something like, "He's quite determined to get his feet under the table, isn't he?" And when I say, "What do you mean by that?" he comes out with all this stuff about Simon being after my inheritance. I can't believe it. For a start, I won't have an inheritance, unless he chooses to leave something to me. So it's in his own hands, isn't it? The whole thing is so ludicrous, so embarrassing. I resolve not to mention it to Simon. Sunday, the 12th of September. I'm supposed to meet Simon at the Bull for lunch, but I'm late, and he comes to the farm looking for me. I find him in the yard, chatting to Dad. My heart sinks. What has Dad said? But according to Simon, he was as monosyllabic as usual. While Simon held forth on the beauty of the English countryside, how he can understand why I gave up my academic career for this, and how envious he is of the life of a gentleman farmer. Oh dear, him and his pretty speeches. Tuesday the 14th, I warn him not to overdo things with Gran. And apart from going a bit over the top in his praise of her Victoria sponge and being quite unnecessarily affectionate towards her smelly old cat, I think he's quite a hit. Jack obviously thinks he's the bee's knees. Friday the 17th. Am suddenly very popular with Kate. Probably because I've taken over the mantle of bad girl of the family. Decide she too wants to meet this man who can make steam come out of Dad's ears at the very mention of his name, and invites us to supper. Try to explain to Simon that this will not be his idea of fun. We'll have to spend the evening eating lentils and being harangued on the future of the planet. And if he tries his snake oil salesman act on Kate, he's likely to get a punch in the mouth. Sunday the 19th. I'm having a moan to Elizabeth about Dad being such a pain, when she tells me something really weird. Apparently, the other week, when they had that picnic at St. Stephen's, Dad got into conversation with David, and he came out with all this stuff about how he hates the thought of a man who's nearly as old as he is pawing his daughter. I find this rather disturbing. First he's got Simon down as a fortune hunter, now he's a dirty old man. Monday. Supper at Kate's, which turns out to be hilarious. Don't think I've ever seen Simon at a loss for words before. He's obviously not used to being told he's talking utter drivel. But that's Kate for you. She tries to pin him down on what he really thinks about GMOs, not just what I've told him. He's trying so hard not to offend her, bless him, that he ends up talking, well, utter drivel. But at least he has the good grace to admit it, and I think Kate is impressed. And he's completely wonderful with Phoebe. I always imagined he was the kind of person who didn't like children, but he confesses later that it's one of the big regrets of his life. Because he's never managed to sustain a relationship, he's never got round to fatherhood. Funny, isn't it? You think you know someone. Friday, 24th of September. Dad has started to question everything I do. Why am I plying here? Have I drilled there? Why haven't those bales been shifted? Why aren't we getting better germination? By this evening, I've had enough, and I completely blow my top to Simon. I don't know how he can remain so calm in the face of such entrenched antagonism. He argues that Dad's hostility is a measure of how much he loves me, and surely we must respect his instinct to protect me from the bad man who hurt me so deeply before. I protest that I don't need protecting. I can look after myself. And anyway, the bad man isn't so bad anymore. He tells me that he loves me. That he'll never let me down again. And I tell him that I believe him. And I love him too. Because I do. I may be a fool, but I really, really love him. Monday the 27th. I ask Alice what she wants for her birthday, and she says a pair of Gucci loafers. What are 11-year-olds coming to? She asks if Simon is coming to her birthday party on Wednesday. I say, if she invites him, he'll come. We buy her a book about Canada. Wednesday, Simon has decided it's time for a showdown with Dad. And since he's coming to the farm for Alice's party, it seems like a good opportunity. But Dad refuses to talk to him, says this isn't the time or the place, and that he'll come to the flat. I don't like the sound of this one little bit. I hate the idea of him sniffing round the flat. But Simon thinks it's progress, Dad agreeing to set foot in the enemy camp. I start to warn him, to tell him what Dad has said. But he doesn't want to know. Friday, the 1st of October. He rings me at lunchtime. He's made the bed and hoovered and bought a packet of biscuits to offer Dad with his tea. Somehow, can't imagine them having cosy chats over the chocolate digestives, but don't want to dash his hopes. I drive to the flat after work. He doesn't have to tell me it didn't go well. He looks as if he's been sandbagged. Tells me Dad refused tea and cross-examined him about when exactly he's going back to Canada. Simon told him he isn't planning on going back at all, that he wants to stay here and make his life with me. And then Dad accused him, to his face, of having designs on Home Farm. Said if Simon persists in seeing me, he will cut me off without a penny. I am so furious, I get in the car and drive straight back to Ambridge. Dad's in the kitchen with Mum and Auntie Jill, who takes one look at me and wisely decides it's time she left. And I let him have it. How dare he make such threats? He says it's not just him who has doubts about Simon. Gran thinks he's untrustworthy, and Kate that he's unprincipled. Now, I know this isn't true. And even if it was, it's none of their business. I happen to love Simon, and I want to spend my life with him. There's nothing more to be said. I go upstairs and start to pack.